Our reading today is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, commencing to read at 13, verse 13. It's on page 741 if you're looking at them in the Bible, or you can look at it on the screen. So Isaiah 52, verse 13, which heading above it is "The Suffering and Glory of the Servant." "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We, like all sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And the suffering of his soul, he will see light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Over to you, James.
Right, good morning, everyone, from me. It's good to be here again. So this is part four of the series, which we've called "What is the Gospel and Why is it Good News for Me?" Because at the heart of the Bible is an announcement of good news, and we've been thinking about that during these weeks. But what I wanted to begin by thinking about this morning is about people who have been kind to you in your life. I'm sure if you look back over your lives and think carefully, you can think of many people who looked after you in some way, who have shown you great kindness. People to whom you owe a debt of gratitude. To start with, there's family members, I'm sure. Maybe your parents. I know that my parents did so much for me and my brother. My dad worked hard every day to put food on the table, and my mum worked hard to look after us and give us a good upbringing. And I'm sure for many of us here, we can say the same about our parents or perhaps other family members to whom we owe a debt of gratitude. In many ways, we could say that we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for those people. And we certainly wouldn't be the people we are today. There are people to whom we owe our lives. And there might be other people that you can think of, perhaps doctors or nurses that have looked after you when you've been ill. Who remembers clapping for the NHS during COVID? And that was one way that people wanted to express their gratitude to people who had looked after them when they were really ill with COVID. People who risked their lives to help save others. And there are also people who have actually given their lives for others. If you think of during wars, this is a photo from the American War Memorial in Cambridge. And on it are written the names of soldiers who died in the Second World War. Above it are the words, "We owe a debt." It's really true that we only have the freedoms that we enjoy today because of the many people who fought and died in the First World War and the Second World War to protect those freedoms. There are people who have given their lives for us, and we know it's right for us to remember them and to be grateful for them. Now, the reason I wanted to start by thinking about this is, of course, because the Bible tells us about how Jesus gave his life for us. And we really need to grasp this thing, that what Jesus went through on the cross and what he did for me and for you was greater than anything anyone else has ever done for you. Jesus saves us not just in this life. He doesn't just win us the kind of freedoms and help us in the kind of ways that other people that we've talked about have, but he saves us in eternity, not just in this life, but in the next also. He doesn't just save our bodies, but our souls too. If we owe those people a debt of gratitude, if we should remember them, how much more should we constantly remember what Jesus has done and give him that gratitude that he's due? We owe him our whole lives. And that's what we wanted to focus on today. So we read from Isaiah 52 and 53, because that's one of the places where we're told very clearly what happened on the cross. The prophet Isaiah actually lived 700 years before Jesus, and yet, even then, God was revealing his plan of salvation. And here in Isaiah, it's one of the places where we see the heart of the gospel. The passage begins in chapter 52, verse 13, where we read, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted." This passage is one of several passages that are called the servant songs of Isaiah. The servant songs in the book of Isaiah are four long poems or songs, from chapter 42 up to this passage that we're reading, that have a common theme. And they all talk about this person called the servant of the Lord. They talk about this chosen servant who has been called to be a light before the nations. Now, Israel had been called to do this. Last time we looked at the story of Israel in the Bible, how God chose Abraham and through his son Isaac made this brand new nation. And with Abraham, with that nation, God was starting something new. We talked about how God saved the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and had made an agreement with them called a covenant, that he would be their God and they would be his people. They would dwell with him. He would actually live in amongst them. And they would know him and they would enjoy all of what it meant to have God's presence with them. Israel were supposed to know God, to serve God, and be a light to the nations. But we saw how Israel had failed to do that. The Old Testament story of Israel is largely a tragic story of Israel's failure. They kept breaking this covenant, this agreement with God again and again and again. God kept forgiving them and giving them fresh starts, sending people to help them again and again and again. But they kept turning their backs on God and being unfaithful to him. So Israel got caught up in this cycle of sin. The whole point of Israel's story is to give us an understanding of the truth about God and about ourselves. We're left with a picture of a God who is good, who is patient, who is merciful and kind, but of humans as failing to serve God and to please him, stuck in this cycle of sin. Israel had failed to be this faithful servant. But in his servant songs, Isaiah talks about another servant. He talks about this servant of the Lord who suffers terribly. There are lots of verses that talk about this. We'll just look at a couple. In chapter 52, verse 14, we read, "Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness." Chapter 53, verse 3, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain." The passage goes on to talk about this servant being pierced in verse 5, being oppressed and afflicted in verse 7. It says that he'll be cut off, that he will be punished in verse 8. And even talks about him being buried in the grave in verse 9. So, of course, this is talking about Jesus, as we've said. This passage in Isaiah is an amazing example of Bible prophecy, written over 700 years before Jesus, and yet fulfilled by Jesus perfectly. Jesus is this servant of God that Isaiah was describing by God's inspiration. He was the one who was pierced. He was the one who was oppressed, afflicted, punished, and buried with the dead. He was the one who had pleased God perfectly. He had been this perfect servant. And yet, he suffered in this terrible way. And we're also told here in Isaiah why this happened, why he suffered. In chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, we read this: "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what was true of Israel is true of all mankind and is true of us too. In Israel's failure, we're made aware of the real problem of our human condition. That by nature, we are all guilty before God, without exception. And Isaiah talks about that when he says that we all, not just some of us, but all of us have gone astray. We are like sheep that have gone away from the shepherd, that haven't followed our shepherd. We've all chosen our own way in life. We've all broken God's law and therefore stand guilty before God. And because God is holy and just, God must punish guilt. We all therefore stood in our natural state, condemned before God as a consequence. And also, we are all enemies of God by nature. We're not at peace with God, but we are at enmity with Him because of our sin, because of our law-breaking. But here in Isaiah, we see that amazing truth of why Jesus came and died on that cross. And that was to take on Himself the punishment that Israel deserved and that we deserved. These verses make it really clear that Jesus died as our substitute. He took our place. We should have been the ones nailed to that cross. We should have been the ones forsaken by God. But because of His great love for us, He took that upon Himself. And when we trust in Jesus and in what He did for us on that cross, we can be forgiven and we can have peace with God. So we are no longer guilty before God and no longer enemies of God, but His people. Not just His people, but His children, His family. That's the kind of language that the Bible uses of us. On the cross, Jesus suffered and was forsaken by God the Father. He took our punishment on Himself so that we could come back to God and enter His presence. Verse 12 talks about that He bore the sin of many and He made intercession for transgressors. We were those transgressors. So, in this series, we've been talking about the gospel as this good news. And there are different elements to it. There's the good news that God is coming. There's the announcement of His kingdom. That's talked about as the good news, that Jesus is returning, that He's coming to bring about this kingdom of righteousness and to restore this world, to bring justice and peace. That's at the heart. That's part of the good news. But right at the heart of the gospel, of this good news, is the cross. It's this announcement to you and to me of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That He took our place, that He was our substitute, that He died for you and me. And we are called to respond to that. It would be so sad if we understood all of that, but yet didn't benefit from it because we didn't respond. We are called to repent of our sin. That means to turn our backs on sin and to trust in Jesus, in particular this thing that we've been talking about what He did on that cross, taking our place. So I want to just end by coming back to what we were thinking about at the beginning, about people who we should be grateful for, people that we know have done something for us, who've been kind to us, who have helped us, perhaps when we've been ill or something like that, even people who've given their lives for us to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. And we thought about how we know that we should remember them and be grateful for them. How much more is that true of the Lord Jesus and what he's done for us? This is one of the passages that we can read on a regular basis to remind ourselves of what he's done. There are many others. As we read in God's word, it helps us to remember. It helps us to be grateful. If we did have someone that we knew, another person in our family or in our community that had literally in some way saved our life, perhaps we've been in a car crash, and imagine that this person found you, and when your body was there lying lifeless on the floor, came and gave you CPR or something like that, and saved your physical life, saved you in that situation. How would you think of that person when you saw them in the street, or even at home when you thought of them? You would never forget what that person has done for you. Well, there is someone who has literally died to save you, and as we said, save you not just in this life, but in all eternity. Save you in the life after death, and that is Jesus. We may have been a Christian for a short time or a long time, but we need to remember, always remind ourselves and stir up our hearts to be grateful to that person who gave his life to save us. I'm going to close there with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage in Isaiah that just speaks so clearly of what you did on the cross. It speaks of the terrible suffering, both physical and spiritual, that you endured on that cross, and how you were rejected by the people you came to save. But it also speaks so clearly of why you did that. Again and again it says that you did it to take the punishment that we deserved, to take our place. And Lord, we know that we should be ever grateful for that. But Lord, we just pray that you would help us each day to really do that, Lord, to really allow that to be something that changes our lives, something that we meditate on often, something that we remember. Help us to live in the light of knowing what you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you'll give us that grateful heart, that joy, the great happiness of knowing that we're saved from an eternal punishment and given eternal salvation and bliss. Help us to be filled with joy knowing that we will never be separated from you, that our souls are secure with you because of what Jesus did on that cross. So Lord, we do pray as we have taken communion today to remember these things and sung about them and have thought about it. Lord, please fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might have that hope and that joy that these things reveal to us that we can have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.